Did you know that Oprah bought 1,000 copies of her book and handed them out to everyone she knows? She not only ran for president once, but twice. And today she's here to take us by the shoulders and give us a good shake. It's the Good Glow podcast with Marianne Williamson. This season of the Good Glow is brought to you by Dove Advanced Care Body Wash. If you're looking for that extra step in your self-care routine that goes a long way, this is it. Dove's Advanced Care Body Wash is powered by 24-hour renewing micro moisture technology, which means it doesn't just clean your skin, it actually nourishes it too. Millions of tiny moisturizing droplets get to work as soon as you step into the shower, and even better, they keep working hours after you step out. So if you're ready to treat your skin to something truly nourishing, Dove Advanced Care Body Wash is available nationwide. Trust me, your skin will thank you. So I've had guests like Mel Robbins, Dr. Shefali, Wim Hof and Gabby Bernstein, but today I'm speaking to another great, and this time in person. Marianne Williamson is best known for writing, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It's our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be?" So Marianne Williamson, as I said, is one of the greats. Jerry Hussey speaks about her a lot, and she has paved the way for him in so many ways, and he says that she is his biggest teacher. So let me paint the picture of my meeting with Marianne in Ireland. So I got word she'd be in town. She was speaking in Still, Oregon. And after confirming a podcast with her, I said I'd go to her. She was staying in a quiet cottage in Wicklow with her friend. So I packed up my equipment and I hit the road. I was pretty nervous because she is so wise and so sharp. And as I got further down the road, my network coverage disappeared and I got a little bit lost. So I arrived to what I thought was the house she was staying in. There was a lovely man in the garden. And I told him I was looking for Jane's house. And was this it? He said no, but there was two Janes on the road. Which one was I looking for? So I told him I was here to actually interview Marianne Williamson, and did he happen to know which Jane she was staying with? And he thought about that for a minute and he looked at me and he said, "The American lady, she's two doors down." So as I reversed down his driveway and gave him a little wave, I thought how wonderfully Irish that interaction was. So yes, I was here to interview the American, but not just any American. Marianne Williamson is not only a spiritual leader, not only has she sold millions of copies of her books and traveled the world to speak, she also ran for president for the Democrats in 2020 and 2024. We had a lovely long chat, but today I pulled out some of the biggest aha moments from our time together. We talk about what it means to speak up, to serve, to show up, especially in today's world that feels chaotic and uncertain. We get into sisterhood, the importance of showing up for each other and supporting each other, defending each other and lifting each other up. We talk about the quiet courage it takes to come back to yourself, to the things that you may have deflected or delayed and how they are still waiting for you. After the podcast, something magical and unexpected happened. I'll tell you more about that at the end. But for now, from a beautiful cottage in Wicklow, it's over to Marianne. Marianne Williamson, such an honour to speak to you on The Good Glow. Thank you for making time for me in Wicklow, Ireland.
Well, I'm glad to be here with you. Thank you for making time for me.
Can I ask you about your experience of Ireland? Because it's not your first time here.
No, I've been here a few times and I'm fascinated by your history. But my personal experience through the lectures and so forth and last night was certainly an example, is how kind people have been to me. Ireland has shown me nothing but good and sweetness and understanding. So I'm a fan.
Is that very different to your experience of America over the past while?
Well, America is in big trouble right now. very different than a few years ago. We've been challenged for quite a few years with all kinds of things, but nothing like what's going on now. We are in the midst of an authoritarian takeover. So America is in a very rough, difficult moment right now.
I was lucky enough to be at your event last night, and it was amazing just to sit there and listen to you speak from your heart, but with such purpose, with such love, I suppose, for the world and the people in it. It was the Q&A really that something special, I think, happened in the room where people are vulnerable enough to stand up and ask a question and speak from their heart. But something that really struck me was the man who said, "How can we exist when the world is falling apart?" And there was a strength in your answer, like, not for people to just sit back and be sad right now, but to actually have the courage to do something.
Those of us who live in advanced democracies sometimes fail to see, first of all, how fortunate we are. And number two, at a time like this, how much responsibility we have. Sometimes you hear about a child. Oh, it's so sad when he or she didn't even get to experience their childhood. But it's pathetic when somebody doesn't get around to experiencing their adulthood. Mm. At this point in our lives, once we are adults, I know you've mentioned that you have children. I asked him if he had children. He said he didn't. But whether you have children or not, there comes a time in life to make it about generations after us, where you find your purpose by serving the ages and not just yourself. And this idea of self-reference, who are you to crumble at a time like this? Yes, these are painful times, and there are some deep challenges. To be honest, a time when things could go either way, mm-hmm. when those of us who have children or grandchildren have a serious responsibility to think about that. And I think that we have gotten too used to saying to people who ask such questions as that, take care of yourself. It's been so traumatic. That has weakened us. Mm-hmm. Yes, first of all, from a spiritual perspective, being incarnate on earth is traumatic because this world is so at odds with the truth of who we are. Mm-hmm. I also think that, and this is not to minimize the trauma that children or adults have gone through, and I've been through my own, but perspective still helps.
Yes.
We're not in Gaza, okay? We're not in Ukraine, okay? We're not in the Sudan, okay? And I think that we owe it to one another. You know, there have been times in my life where people have indulged me or cared for me in the name of compassion that was sincere, when I would have been better off in retrospect if they had shaken me by the shoulders. What are you doing? What are you doing? That is would have served me more. I remember, and I wrote about this in one of my books, when I was a very young woman, I was in my early 20s, and an old high school teacher of mine, after I complained about my life, she said, "Excuse me, but do you do anything for anyone else?" And she said it without judgment, but it was like a brick to my forehead.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be unkind. And he was very respectful, and I hope he experienced me that way. But this is, as I said a couple of times in the evening, this is not a moment to sit down with everybody, you okay? You okay? It's a time to ask, what great thing are you doing? And how can I help?
Yes. So what you're about to hear next may surprise you. Marianne ran for president twice, but behind the scenes, what she experienced from other women wasn't always what she expected. This is a true lesson in sisterhood. This moment is raw, revealing, and honest. Says a lot about where we are, but also where we could go. You spoke so beautifully about sisterhood, and It's interesting that you've two granddaughters.
Yeah.
And women obviously play such a big role in your life. But actually, when you were talking about sisterhood and how, as women, we need to raise the vibration, I was very inspired after hearing you speak about that.
In the 1970s, when I was first exposed to feminist support groups and so forth, there was a notion fundamental to the entire movement that none of us were getting there unless all of us got there, and that we had to be there for one another. I never felt, one of the things I shared last night was that I never felt in my career as an author and speaker any limitation to my opportunities or to other people's perception of me based on my being a woman. But when I went into the political realm, I experienced misogyny that had only been an abstraction to me before. Things that would be said about me, stories that would be told, attitudes cultivated that could only happen because I was a woman, that they wouldn't dare do if I was a man. But what hurt me most was not just that some of the perpetrators of those mischaracterizations were women. That amazed me, but what hurt me was how many women that I had thought of as my friends, my colleagues, who have known me for years, didn't get on Instagram, didn't get on Facebook, didn't say, look, I'm not saying I agree with her politics. I may or may not. You may or may not. But I've known her for 25 years, and that is not who she is. And I knew that it was because those who were my political opponents had made me It made me radioactive. And I assumed they thought, well, if I publicly defend her, I will appear radioactive too. That was when I saw, wow. And sisterhood means, and by the way, I did experience once, there was a woman, she's a Canadian, Danielle Laporte. And Danielle Laporte had always been very kind to me. And she, several years ago, she did something online that received a tremendous blowback. And it was so clear that she had not meant any offense to anyone. It had to do with a picture. Anybody could look at this picture and know there was no offense there. And yet, people who were just out to get her, you know, with the cancel culture, it was terrible. And I knew her. She was a colleague, not a close friend. But, and I defended her online. And I saw they came after me. So I have seen the phenomenon. Mm. I have seen it. But if we won't stand up for each other, I think that there are two things that, at least what I see in the United States, that patriarchal prejudice really comes after. And that's fierceness in the older woman and the sexuality in a younger woman.
And do those disappointments change you as a person, or are you able to brush them off?
Well, what happened for me, I was saying this, I was having a conversation with someone else who went through something really intense recently. When you go through something, and I'm sure you know exactly what I mean, you remember the people who were there for you. Mm. And you remember the people who weren't. And ultimately, you want to forget all of it because forgiveness reigns. But I did see that, and it might not be this way in Ireland because you've had a woman president and so forth. We have not. Women will never get to the positions of power. And when I say that, I don't just mean she got the job. I mean she gave the message of true nurturing, nourishing, and healing for the world. Unless when that woman gets blowback, other women and men will come to her defense.
Wow. A short break to thank Dove Advanced Care Body Wash for supporting The Good Glow this season. So in my hands, I have the deeply nourishing Advanced Care Body Wash. Such a lovely product. If you're anything like me and you're halfway through the day and you realize, I got out of the shower and I forgot to moisturize. Do not worry. There's millions of micro moisture droplets in Advanced Care Body Wash, leaving your skin as soft as silk for 24 hours. It's also free from sulfates, has biodegradable ingredients, and is packaged in recycled plastic bottles. Say goodbye to dry skin this season and step out feeling more beautiful and confident in your own skin with thanks to Dove Advanced Care Body Wash. Next up, Marianne speaks about the awakening that she believes is happening across America. She speaks about moving from the personal to the collective, from the individual to the global, and what it means to show up with love and courage, how we treat one another, how we treat the earth, and how we respond to crisis. It's so powerful.
When you look at politics, is there any sort of room for love or well-being, or were you trying to bring love to politics without sounding ridiculous asking you that question? Love for humanity.
Love is the only thing that can prevail over collectivized hatred.
Do you think it will?
Two things. I think hope is a moral imperative. And two, I think we are seeing the early stages of an American awakening. A lot of people were in shock, asleep. This can't be happening. Couldn't be that bad. I think a lot of people now realize or are approaching the realization that Rome is burning as we speak. Mm-hmm. And the American spirit. Remember, we were born of revolution. We were born of hell no to tyranny. The Irish have your own history at that with the British monarchs just like we do. So it's in our DNA. Now, there's also still a great, not so much complacency as at this point, fear. My biggest concern is people who are saying, oh, it's so depressing, I don't even want to look at the news, or people saying, well, there's just nothing we can do.
Yeah.
But for those who are awakening not only to what's happening, but to their responsibility to respond to what's happening, it's a social media post here, it's a town hall there, it's a protest here, it's a call to your senators there.
I thought your post about the Pope was so interesting because
he's the high side of the American character.
Yeah, it's like light and darkness. And I think, you know, when he walked out, obviously everyone in Ireland was glued to, even my 8-year-old, because of my mother was the Pope, the Pope, the Pope. And it's like light and darkness, isn't it?
Well, I want to avoid. It's much like you were there last night and when the man talked about people being evil.
Yes. Oh, talk to us about that.
The course would say it's love and fear.
Love and fear.
And I think that the consequences are dark. But when we think about the people and when we think about the perpetrators, even though the response needs to be the same, as in a passionate and fierce no, this will not stand, not on my watch. We are either all God's children or we're not. We have reached a point as a species where our collective behavior makes us no longer well adapted for our own survival. And when a species gets to a point where its collective behavior is not well adapted for its survival, I mean, this is pure Darwin, one of two things will happen. It will either evolve or it will go extinct. And if and when it evolves, it's because of the introduction of a mutation, a member of the species who displays a different kind of behavior, one that is more sustainable. And then when a critical mass of the members of the species move in that direction, the species evolves. We are at a point as a species where our collective behavioral patterns are no longer well adapted for survival. And we have moved, as I said last night, from collective dysfunction to collective malfunction. The way we treat each other, the way we treat the earth, even this very irresponsible, careless way, we are rushing full steam into unregulated AI. Now, the worldview, the mindset that brought us here is unsurvivable. We have to be the immune cells. We have to think of ourselves as part of and participating in this collective mutation from a mindset of separation, greed, domination, to collaboration. There's a sense that rehearsal is over.
It's powerful stuff. So we're into the last section of the podcast, probably the part of the podcast that had the most profound impact on me and will stay with me for a long, long time. If you feel like life is overwhelming at the moment, if you feel like you're in fight, flight or freeze mode, Marianne is letting us know that it's never too late. It's never too late to do good. It's never too late to follow your dreams. And it's never too late to start a practice to center yourself. If a woman is listening to this, or even a man, of course, and they've thought, God, I've done nothing up until now. I haven't served, or, you know, I've taken a back seat. Like, what can they do?
Two stories. One is the story of the prodigal son. I think we're a prodigal son generation. The story of the prodigal son is that the father was more excited to see the son who had left and come back. There's great emotional power in knowing, yeah, you fucked up, just don't fuck up now. Go be better now. That's the mercy of God. Mm-hmm. Also, in Alcoholics Anonymous, there's an interesting thing that happens to people. They say that if you, let's say, started using drugs or alcohol at the age of 18 and you get sober at 35, you find yourself emotionally at the place where you were at 18. But many people who get sober in things like the 12-step programs notice that where the rest of us might have taken this upward slanting line of development as we grew older, people get sober and they find themselves in certain ways making direct vertical ascents. Because everything that we could have been, everything that we could have done, still sits within us. When you deflect your good, you deflect the things that could have been, that they are held in trust for you. That's what the Course in Miracles says. Those miracles you deflected will be held in trust for you by the Holy Spirit until you are ready to receive them.
Wow. That's amazing.
I know.
It's never
too
late.
So next time it comes around, and it will come around. It won't be the same person. It won't be the same place. It won't be the same circumstance. But you'll know it's the same lesson. This time, show up for it.
I have a friend, Dr. Brian Penny. He suffered with a heroin addiction for many, many years. And now he is a doctor of neuroscience. He went to Trinity College and it was all there for him.
Hallelujah. You know, it's the 11th hour. It's even 11:55, but a lot can happen.
Last question. I could sit here all day, but I know you have a flight to catch. Could I ask you about a mantra or something that speaks to you currently?
Well, I'm a student of A Course in Miracles. And every day, it's 365 days of meditation exercises. And the first half of the year, the first 6 months, is the dismantling of a thought system based on fear. And then the second half of the year is reconstruction of a thought system based on love, right? So every day always seems to be perfect. Mine, I've been doing a review section, which is my mind holds only what I think with God. And the idea there is that the thinking of this world is so out of sync with the thinking which is natural to us, which is love, that whether our path is religious, spiritual, or secular, it doesn't even matter. The work to be done, as Gandhi said, the problem with the world is that humanity is not in its right mind. Mm-hmm. So anything that reclaims the truth of who we are, despite the temptation to move into judgment, to move into blame, to move into anger, whatever the things are that are an expression of our fear rather than our love. So the one that I've been on the last few days with that is my mind holds only what I think with God. But also we all know the profound power of Om. It doesn't matter the form of the meditation or the mantra. If it comes from a serious spiritual source material, the point is that it reaches deep into your mind and reconnects your mind with your heart. So we don't have to make a big deal about what the particular mantra is, but we just need to make sure that we find whatever practice is right for us and do it on a consistent, disciplined basis so that it actually changes our mental musculature and turns us into different people.
And that word discipline is very important.
The word discipline comes from the same root as the word disciple. The Course in Miracles says you achieve so little because you have an undisciplined mind. We are too easily tempted into meaninglessness. So we have to, quote unquote, remind each other. Keep it real.
Wow.
Keep it deep.
Thank you so much to Marianne for such an incredible episode of the Good Glow podcast. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please send it in to your favorite sisterhood WhatsApp groups. And I think this conversation is also one that our teenagers and all the young women in our lives would benefit from hearing too. So, when I was at Marianne Williamson's show the night before, she said something that really resonated and I wanted to share it with you because she touched on it briefly at the end of the podcast. A girl put up her hand and said, everyone around her says she's too sensitive. And you could see that this judgment from other people was rattling her and affecting her self-confidence, maybe even her self-worth. In that moment, Marianne said, I feel like your energy is a little bit leaky. And when she said that, I totally understood what she meant. And maybe because I can recognize that in my own energy sometimes. I thought it was one for the Soul Sisters. So if you are affected by other people's opinions, if you feel like you're a little bit of a people pleaser, Marianne's answer was so simple. She said you need to have a practice, a meditation practice. Find one that works for you. And this is what she was talking about at the end of the podcast when she was talking about her mantra. So she said to this girl, find a practice, be disciplined, show up every day for that practice, and you will become more centered and more self-assured. That really spoke to me in that moment. This is what we can do if we feel like our energy is a little bit leaky. I absolutely love it. So a mere 20 minutes after we finished this conversation, Jane revealed that she had a zip line in her back garden, and myself and Marianne, before we knew it, were zip lining through Jane's garden. It reminded me that we need to have fun, we need to connect, and we need to make new friends. It was such a wonderful afternoon. Speaking of gatherings, my last ever Christmas show is taking place at the National Concert Hall Saturday the 6th of December at 7 p.m. I've left a link for tickets in the show notes. It's going to be a gathering of like-minded people, a chance to reflect on the year and to remember what matters heading into the festive season. I would love to see you there. Tickets are going fast, and as I said, there's a link in the show notes. Can't wait to see you next week. Thank you so much for tuning in today.